Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm going to be going through Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9 this morning. So let us read that before we pray. We can just turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me only my daily bread, that I may not have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord, or too little, and steal and dishonor the name of my God. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that these verses dig deep into our hearts this morning. Lord, that you teach us what it means to ask for daily bread, and that we do not have too much and disown you, or too little and dishonor you. I pray these things fall on willing ears this morning, and that your word cuts deep. I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to spend just a little bit of time to share about what these verses mean to me. These verses I recite every morning before I go to work or when I'm at work because it is a very strong reminder of where I am right now. My wife, she was the one who told me to memorize these verses before I started in my current job. And just to share a little bit about that, I've been working in Hong Kong for many years, and I've been have the privilege of working in a prestigious law firm during that time. And I remember distinctly when I left the firm just about 2 years ago that around that time, God was calling me away. And you know, sometimes God calls you away to the mission field, or he calls you away to another country to work, or he calls you away to another industry altogether for whatever reason. You know. And then we try to coincide our passion with what his calling is. So we you know, for whatever reason it is, you know, maybe you say that, oh, I wanted to be an actor, and then you try to say and put God into it, and whereas, you know, God came second in that calling. For me, the bar, working as a barrister, was actually not necessarily a natural tendency. I believe it or not, you know, when I was in high school, I hated public speaking. I was very shy. I was very introverted. I don't like coming to the front. I don't like being in the spotlight. I like working behind the scenes. but over the years, God's been developing my heart, especially as a Christian, to speak out more boldly. And so when I left the comfort of my job at the firm, God at that time was tugging on my heart, and he was calling me out to work as a barrister. And, you know, some people have very different views of what it means to be a barrister. Some people look at the profession and all they see is suits, or all they see is, you know, some TV show that they watched on, you know, Hong Kong TV, and then it's like, oh, it's all about, you know, crime and passion and, you know, corruption at the courts and things like that, and you get to, you know, go up in the court and speak and, you know, be all that. For me, I saw that too, but actually I also saw a lot of, for me, I fought with a lot of fear. Fear of uncertainty, not knowing, when I'm going to be paid, not knowing where the work will be coming from. Because actually, you may or may not know, during the first training year as a barrister, you have no income. You're not allowed to have any income. And so it's basically free work. It's pro bono work for 12 months. And at that time, at exactly the same time, I had KJ. So I had KJ in the first week of my time at the bar. And so I already had increased expenses. We started renting out a larger place so we could have a baby. And so really, from a worldly perspective, it was quite stupid to go out to the bar. But actually, that sort of was a confirmation that, for me, that it was definitely, it had to be a calling from the Lord and not my own flesh or my own desires. And so I fought a lot with that. You know, I fought with identity issues, because after leaving the firm, for those of us here who have worked in big companies or international companies before and have left that to start your own thing, you know, whether it be self-employed or work somewhere else, it's always about a rebuilding of your identity, a rebuilding of your reputation. People don't know who you are, and so it's kind of like, you know, you're starting things from ground zero again. For me, it was a lot like that. Because, you know, you came from a a background where people know you by the company that you work in, and then now you're out and you have to sort of fend for yourself and people don't know who you are. And so there were a lot of insecurities on my front. I fought a lot of, you know, what does it mean to be, you know, to be who I am as an individual? Where do I find my value in? Do I find my value in the company that I worked for? Or do I find my value just in, as a Christian, as a son of God? And those things seem so obvious, but when it hits you on a daily basis, it's actually, as basic as it is, it was quite tough. And obviously during that time, I wasn't earning any money. And I remember that my bank account at the end of the year actually went down to just a few thousand, even though I saved quite a fair amount of money over the years. And for me, that was quite shocking because obviously I have to take care of my wife and my daughter at the time. And so Cadence, being the good wife that she is, instead of just going out there and telling me, just go out, you know, as soon as the year is over and you can start earning money, you know, just go out and earn tons of money and take care of the family. Like, she didn't do that. Actually, the only thing she asked me to do was to recite this to myself every day. You know, two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread, that I might not have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord, or too little and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. At first, when I recited that, it was really out of desperation. It was kind of like, well, God, I just don't want to be on the poor end. I don't want to end up stealing and dishonoring your name. Because believe it or not, at the bar, it's not easy to get work. Most lawyers, actually, when they start out as a barrister, unless you're in the sort of top 5 percentile of the sets, that, you know, there are only about 900 barristers in Hong Kong, and if you're in the top 10 percentile, then you might have a regularity of work. But even then, that basically just about matches my previous job. So in terms of security, there's no reason to come out to be a barrister because I was already getting that from my previous job. And so coming out here was, you know, I kept questioning, God, why do you want me to call me out? Why do you want to call me out? Obviously, it's a journey that I'll be experiencing and learning more of in the next few years. But what I want to share this morning is what I've learned so far in the 2 years since I've come out. And one of the things that I realize is that God really doesn't want us to suffer materially. You know, there's something about the Christian world that we sort of swung too far either way. And for me personally, I learned that he really does provide. And when I say provide, it's a provision that comes on a daily basis. There would be bouts where I look ahead. I mean, just very, very simply, you know, back in September, I had a clear schedule in November and December. And when you think about it, that means you have no income. Then you basically don't know where your rent is coming in and so forth. And literally by early mid-October, one of my previous sifus contacted me and wanted me to be involved in a large case, which basically takes up almost the entirety of November. And those are the types of things that I face on a daily basis. So you might want to hoard a lot of work now to gain a lot of security for the future, but that never happens. And as I said, even in the largest sets, you face other insecurities, you know, your sufficiency, whether your work is good enough, and so forth. And as a barrister, you're not actually allowed to advertise. It's actually a law against you. You can't actually tout for work. I can't go out and say, hey, this is my business card. Come, you know, come use my services. Only if you approach me and only if it's by word of mouth or if you like my work. That's how I get known. And so a lot of my insecurity came from that. And Cadence, my wife, really, really drove it home just as I started the profession to learn what it means to receive my daily bread. But that was more from a financial side, because then I learned in the last 2 years to rely on him. I actually have no doubts that God will bring me work, that he will bless me materially. And that, you know, we don't have to go too far, as I said, not too far to either end as a Christian. Because on the one end, you have people who completely deny the quote-unquote prosperity gospel. I do too. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, because God promises us material blessings too. But he also wants us to seek him when we are suffering, because that time will come as well. So we don't preach a gospel where we're only blessed materially, but that we learn how to stand with him when we are not blessed materially. I think that's really the balance that we have to seek as Christians. And on the other hand, we're not one of those Christians who, you know, as my wife always feared that I would be, you know, kind of like the missionary who lives under a bridge and with no home. You know, that's her constant fear when we got married, is that I won't provide her with a home. I won't provide her with basic sustenance. And praise God, you know, he's given me more than what I had imagined in my job and just, you know, in my life so far. But that's sort of, and I began to meditate more on that, because that's just from a financial side of things. That's just in terms of sustaining my life materially. And I was meditating on this last night, and I realized that there's a real problem with the way we approach what it means to receive daily bread. You know, now that I've learned it firsthand, because previously I took for granted my income, I took for granted my reputation, I took for granted my title at my previous job. Those are things that were given to me, but those are not my identities. And I was meditating on this, and I realized that it's strange. We are kind of, how do I say, contradictory, self-contradictory in terms of our daily life. Because for most of us, in terms of basic human sustenance, such as eating, sleeping, you know, staying clean, having a shower, all that sort of stuff, those are things that we do on a regular basis. And by that I mean, you know, say for instance, we have the 21-day fast coming up, we're not going to eat so much on the day before the fast that it will sustain us for the remaining 21 days. It's just impossible. Because the way we eat is that ideally we eat maybe 3 to 5 times a day, depending on how big your meals are. So you don't eat in the morning to sustain you for the rest of the day. In the same way, you don't, you know, have a shower today to stay clean for the remainder of the week. That's, I mean, maybe some students do that, but that's pretty nonsensical. You just don't do that. Like my son, Tristan, he feeds every 3 hours. As much as I personally would like him to feed one time a day and sleep for the rest of the day, again, that's impractical. Not only is that's just sort of a violation of his human basic need, because that's not how our bodies are designed. So we understand that in terms of our carnal and physical desires. Yet at the same time, we contradict ourselves by doing two things that are completely different, which is we hoard the riches. We hoard the riches of this world, and we hoard the riches of God. And just as I was sharing earlier, that it's so easy to take for granted, you know, where you're in right now, if especially if you're employed, or if you're self-employed and you got to a point where, you know, you've got a regular source of income and God's been blessing you financially. My point is that we seem to have created this buffer between ourselves and God because we've been hoarding these riches that are from Him and riches that are from the world. In Hong Kong, many of us, and during my time at the firm, I've also come across many people in similar industries where it's very easy to think like this. You know, you spend your young years chasing the dollar, looking out for number one, you know, working really hard and long hours. Why? So you can have a nicer life at the end. You can retire earlier. Or as many of my friends who worked at Goldman Sachs used to do, they work 3-4 years of intensive iBanking life, and then they can start their own ice cream business or whatever it is they want to do. And that's that kind of mentality seeps into the way we treat God. Why? Because we have a hoarder mentality. In the same way, we go to the key important services throughout the year. We go to the retreat, we come to the 21-day fast, and we attend all the big events. So I think it was PSAM who was preaching about the different types of Christians. And the one that I felt was the most prominent amongst Hong Kong Christians is the one who is sort of the World Cup Christian, the one that comes to the key events. And that's a serious issue, because it means that we don't want to seek His face. We just want to seek the things that He gives. We just want to seek these things and sort of hoard and cover ourselves. And it's kind of, the mentality is no different than, you know, coming up, you know, we all know about the typhoon yesterday, and there's another typhoon coming up on Friday. And so I'm sure some of you, I mean, I personally will do as well, will be going to the supermarkets maybe later today to store up for the typhoon. Why? Because you can't go out to the supermarkets during that period. But we do that with our spiritual life as well, is that during the best of our times, during the convenient times, we come to these events and then we store up. It's almost like a spiritual storing up. And then we end up during the typhoon season of our lives, during the stormy seasons of our lives, we try to draw from those experiences. But we're not actually seeking God's face, necessarily. We're just drawing from those experiences. And I've realized that that's something that as a church and as a Christian, we commonly do, and that we don't regularly seek his face, and that we try to store up these things when it's convenient for us, and just like we deal with our human riches. And that kind of insecurity, and I was just trying to meditate on this, is the kind of insecurity that came from even from the fall, from when Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And then his eyes open, and then he realizes, oh, you know, we're naked. But actually, when he sewed the fig leaves to cover himself, it was also to cover his shame. And actually, when I was reading through this and I was understanding it, my diagnosis in the last 2 years of coming out and being self-employed as a barrister is that when I seek all these riches, and why the passage says you will end up disowning him, is because you forget that these riches are from him. And so you say no to him. Who are you, Lord? Or when you steal, you're dishonoring him. Why? Because you're not actually seeking from him either. You're stealing from someone else. The provision that he could provide, you saw from someone else. The provision that he could provide to your necessity, you've had too much of. And in those, our hearts are so fickle. And this passage is actually speaking to that, how fickle we are. When we have too much, we say no to him. We have too little, we also say no to him. Why? Because we're not seeking his face, just like what Adam is doing. He didn't seek God to cover him. He could have very well went to God and said, sorry, Lord, I sinned. I repent right now before you. Cover me. He knows that the Lord loves him deeply. He didn't do that. Instead, what did he do? He covered himself with more fig leaves. And if you know, fig leaves are pretty pitiful compared to the animal skin that God gave him. And so in the same way, instead of going to God on a daily basis, receiving his word, receiving his revelation, meditating on his word, instead of doing that, what do we do? We hoard up spiritually. And how do we do that? One example is this. As I mentioned, of course, there's the World Cup Christian. For me personally, there was a period when I stored up on theology. So what I do is I read a lot of really good theologians' writings, stock up on my knowledge, so that one day there would be some hapless non-Christian who would be on the receiving end of my beating, theological beatdown. That's actually completely un-Christian, quite the contrary. Yet at the same time, believe it or not, we do that a lot. You know, we come here, we do a lot of feeding at one conference. We have the R.T. Kendall Conference coming up next weekend. I'm sure we'll see a lot more Christians than we see normally at church. And then we don't see them ever again. And the issue is, again, the issue of storing up, creating a buffer. Because they might think, and we might think, that we're actually trying to get close to God. When in fact, we're not. We're getting further away from him. We're creating this buffer between us and him. And that buffer is spiritual knowledge. That buffer is the pretense of Christian behavior. That buffer is religiosity. That buffer is our wealth. That buffer is the excess of things that we have because we're not seeking him daily. Because we do not feel like we are in want, that we need to seek his face daily. And that's a real issue, brothers and sisters. And I was reading Pastor Benjamin's book, Shepherd of Souls, recently, and one point really hit me about that book, is that he mentions that it's so easy for us to get into Christian behavior, and by that I mean you get into the mode of coming to EMP, you get into the mode of going to house church, you get into the mode of attending, you know, GIC, EG, and all these things. And actually by doing these things, you think that you're mature. We think that we're mature. And, you know, obviously in internally, I think we do admit a little bit of that. Then, you know, oh, I've done GIC, that means I can volunteer now. Or I've done EG, it means I've been discipled by CP Sam. Or I've done the LAM course, which means that my marriage is potentially better than other people's marriages who didn't attend. There's a level of Christian hierarchy, even whether we believe it or not, or whether we want to admit it or not, there's a sense of that. And what Pastor Benjamin really does in that book is to deconstruct that. And he basically says, no, that's just behavior. And don't fool yourself into maturity just because you've now sort of hopped onto that train. On the contrary, when there is no construct, when there is no church event, when there is no EMP, no house church, none of that stuff, do you still desire to seek him daily? Do you still desire to pray in the morning? Or did your 21-day fast at the beginning of the year, did that conjure up further fasts throughout the year? Or do you feel like, well, you know what? I fasted enough for the whole year. I'm not going to fast anymore, God, because I don't need to seek your face in that way anymore. Because if that's the case, then our Christian lives are really much just playing church. We're not really seeking his face. We're not really receiving daily bread. We're actually then no different than the Israelites who were in the wilderness, and they received manna, and God said, this is your daily bread. And what did they do? Some received it on a daily basis. Why? Because they had faith God would provide the next day. They had faith that God will provide. But many of them hoarded. They hoarded the manna. What happened to the manna then? It was inedible. Right? And so that's sort of a parable for us to think, you know, do we trust that when we come to him daily, that he will bless us in the physical space too, as I mentioned earlier, as part of my profession, that I have to trust him in the physical space because he will provide for me materially, as well as trust him in the spiritual space, that if I come to him today, that is the portion that all that I need to receive is what I'll receive from him today, that I'm not trying to stock up. I'm not trying to create a buffer between myself and him. And all that it takes is the desire to seek his face and not the desire to cover yourself, not the desire to find your security in Christian behavior, which is just not really seeking Christ. And I just want to end the sharing this morning with this one reading that I had from Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. I read this book many years ago, and I think now more so it hits me more than it did before, because I'm now part of a much tighter community than I was then. And I'm just going to read this out. I have community with others, and I shall continue to have it only through Jesus Christ. The more genuine and the deeper our community becomes, the more will everything else between us recede. The more clearly and purely will Jesus Christ and his work become the one and only thing that is vital between us. We have one another only through Christ, but through Christ we do have one another wholly and for all eternity. That dismisses once and for all every clamorous desire for something more. One who wants more than what Christ has established does not want Christian brotherhood. He is looking for some extraordinary social experience which he has not found elsewhere. He is bringing muddled and impure desires into Christian brotherhood. So again, that's actually very similar to what this passage is talking about, is that we're seeking more than what he's provided us. And that actually isn't seeking Christ, because that's not the portion he's given us this day. And as I said, this is, for me, such an important passage to pray on daily, to ensure that both in my physical and my spiritual walks with him, that I'm really seeking his face. I'm really truly relying on him, because I haven't stored up for myself enough to create a buffer in my relationship with him. So as I invite Jeff to come up to lead us in a worship song, just want to use this time to encourage you to just meditate. You know, have you been coming to EMP as part of quote-unquote Christian behavior? Are you storing up things for yourself materially and spiritually? And it matters. Both are connected. The way we handle ourselves in our material blessings has a direct correlation in how we deal with God spiritually as well. So let's just use a bit of this time now to meditate and to come before Him. And I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to really connect with your spirit and to guide your body and soul right now. You know, let God honor you for coming out this morning to seek His face, and that this isn't just a one-off, but this is really because you are just desperate to seek His face. Jesus.
For this life, and up above.
Thanks, Jeff. It's very apt lyrics. Above all else, give me yourself. Yes, indeed, God, give me yourself. Brothers and sisters, I shared earlier that, of course, you know, in the construct, whether or not we're actually seeking His face daily, you know, it's difficult to decipher until that construct is taken away from us. But actually, I just want to challenge us to take it one step further. You know, God put these constructs in place to assist us in our faith. You know, we have EMP, we have house church, we have all these different types of things to allow us to take part in the community that I talked about. But you know, in Hebrews 10, it says, you know, let us stir each other up to good works and to love one another and consider how to encourage each other, particularly as the day approaches, you know, because there's a habit of people not meeting one another, and there's a habit of neglecting to meet one another. And the challenge is this, you know, our daily bread is not just seeking His face daily in isolation. The challenge is to do it in the community. And, you know, house church is really not enough. It's just once a week. And to be honest, that's really not enough. We're talking about daily bread. You know, are we connecting with God and with fellow believers on a daily basis? Or are we surrounding ourselves with the men of this world, the morals of this world on a daily basis? Because that's what's going to eat away at our faith. That's what's going to eat away at our relationships with Him. We're not really eating from Him daily then. We're just eating from the world. And so my challenge to you is this. Despite the constructs that SP has provided, despite EMP and despite house church, if we really want to seek His face daily, then let's take it one step further. Because those things are not enough. We should be seeking Him more. Because that's the only way our non-Christian brothers and sisters outside of this church will look in our lives and see that we are really seeking from Him daily. That they can't point at our lives and say, ah, Jackie, yeah, he's the guy from that law firm. No, he's the guy who really relies on God. He's the guy who can never take glory for himself. And every time I praise Him for anything, He always says, praise God. Because that's genuinely what He believes in. I strive to be that person. Of course, I'm not there yet, but that's what we aim to do. So let that be a challenge for us this morning. It's not about how much we do, but actually it's about deciphering where our heart is right now and whether we really are seeking Him daily. And so as we just spend a bit of time considering how to do that later this morning, let us just move on to pray for our brothers and sisters at the church. Let us pray for those who have cancer and who are receiving chemo and radiation therapy. You know, there's quite a lot of people on the list, so just maybe focus on one or two and really pray into those that you're convicted to pray for. Can we then pray for those who are ill but have yet to meet with Jesus, and just pray for their salvation and pray that their healing comes with their salvation as well. Next up, can we just pray for those in our church who have infirmities? Next up, can we pray for those who are seeking jobs right now? Praise God that this list constantly changes and that people are being blessed. So let's really pray hard into this, because this is, again, part of them seeking daily bread and they want to be blessed materially as well. So let's pray for that as well. Turn to the Thursday slides. Just pray for mission focus in SPSG. Pray for PSAM Kim and the church over there. They had their retreat, I think, the week before ours. So let's just pray that the fire that we typically receive from the retreat, that it doesn't subside, that it really just stirs them on to greater things over there. Let's pray for Espin, for P. Selamat and his family. They also had their anniversary recently, so let's pray for great things to come in the next few years, and we expect greater things to come for them. And then we also pray for SP Seoul. This is our new church plant, started a few weeks ago, and right now the numbers are small, and we're not just praying for numbers, of course, we're praying for quality of the community. So let's pray for that as well. Next up, can we pray for our prayer and healing teams for an intercessory prayer? They meet here quite frequently, once a week on Friday nights. Pray for the Well ministry, our healing ministry. Pray for Cascade, which is right now going through a bit of internal restructuring. So just pray for some anointing and protection for them. Many of these brothers and sisters, they are quote-unquote front line. So, many times we expect that they're the ones interceding for us, but they don't have people interceding for them. So let us be those brothers and sisters interceding for them and covering them right now. Next up, let's pray for the education ministries. Noah's Ark for P. Mary and Yiling, SP Youth for P. Nate, SPU for P. Ricky and P. Andrew. Pray for young people to encounter God. There's no one too young who can receive some amazing experiences from Him. So let's really ask for that. And also pray for the leaders, as well as pray for more leaders. There's never going to be enough leaders to guide young people at this church and people who are willing to be mentors. So let's pray for that as well. Pray for the Thursday night outreaches for SP Lights and for Homey Outreach. My sister-in-law Rainey is leading SP Lights, and I always hear these amazing testimonies after she comes back from that. And I can only imagine, God is doing such amazing things in these outreaches as well. So let's really pray hard into it. And that the people that we minister to don't feel like they're just, sort of charity cases, but that they're actually going to connect deeply with the community here. Let's pray for that. Finally, let us pray for house churches this week. Pray for Elements, Olympic, and Robin Hood. I think Happy Valley is now meeting on Wednesdays. Let's just pray for them. The topic this week isn't easy. It's a topic, actually, a lot about purity, sexual purity. Let's pray for that. And let's pray for the hearts of those who go, and your hearts too, if you haven't attended house church yet this week. and that you're ready to receive what God has to say to you. And that it really cuts deep into you because the topic is so important, especially for the younger people of our church. So let's really pray that the word really dwells deep and stirs deep even during and after house church this week. God, I just want to thank you for this morning that, Lord, you desire to see us on a daily basis. You desire to see us face to face. And yet we're the ones who keep pushing you away. We're the ones who keep complaining that we can't hear you. We're the ones who keep complaining that we don't see you. And we're the ones who keep complaining that we don't know you and that you haven't revealed yourself to us. And actually, we've created such a buffer around us. We created our own fig leaves with our possessions, with our wealth, with our quote-unquote spiritual knowledge and riches, when in fact all it takes is just to sit here and to receive, really just to seek your face, to allow you to reach out into our hearts and to mold us. So Lord, I pray that this day, today, after we leave EMP, that we're still in your presence, we're still walking with you, we haven't left your presence. And that we pray that you continue to reveal awesome things to us just today. It's all that I ask. And I just pray that, and I know that will be the case. So Lord, I pray for that over the people who've come today and those who are listening in this morning. And I pray that, yeah, we carry the same mentality, that we recite this verse to ourselves as well, that we want daily bread, that we want the manna, we want this daily, Lord. And that you speak and reach out to us daily. Thank you, God. I pray these things in your son's precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great day today.